Well, I'm a human, and it's the news, according to me. Yeah, I'm still just reminiscing about the this morning's show discussion about Governor Whitmer. She's saying the reason she was out with a group of 12 people. 12 people. It's supposed to be six. Limited to six people, according to her rules. Just going by her rules here. In a restaurant. Inside. With tables pushed together. But she, you know, she's human. She forgot. Because, you know. Oh, yeah, there's a pandemic thing. I forgot about that. She's, you know, she's busy doing other things, apparently. And I'm other things. My other things I'm doing. I'll have you know, I basically skipped my lunch today to do this show for you. Just for you, my listening audience. Because I'm so dedicated to you. Yeah, that and you guys pay me so much money. You know, the cost of subscriptions are just out of sight here. So I give you nothing but quality. Quality for you, everything for your money. You get what you pay for, basically. That's what you're getting. if you haven't paid your bill, you might want to look into that. Because, you know, you could be shut off at any time. So it's possible. Yeah, it's probably not possible, I guess. But because I don't have any idea how to shut you off. I just keep doing shows. So it doesn't really matter. I was going to talk about some of the other headlines, some things in the news. I did look into this black fungus thing a little bit. And, you know, so more importantly, I looked into my cup here. And it still has tea that's not sweet that I sweetened with sugar. Never the same. I'm still trying to choke that down. It's not quite as sweet as it needs to be, and it's a little bit old. And I'm not going to go outside and go get more tea here, because I'm in Michigan, and I got to walk through a drive-through. And there's always that chance you can get run over. So, and I just feel ridiculous standing there pretending like I'm driving a car. Especially when I have to honk my horn. And it's really, you know, it's kind of embarrassing almost. So, I had this, I've looked into this black fungus thing. There are apparently, currently there are like 6,000 cases currently right now. Of black fungus. I think some people have gotten over it, but that right now the current number of cases that are being treated are just over 6,000 people. This is all in India. Now, it's a little bit interesting to me that this is only being reported in India. It's related to the COVID thing, the virus. You know, the pandemic thing that everybody got. You know, we don't talk about it. Like, if you haven't heard about it, maybe you might want to look back in history here the last year. But the thing about it is it's weird that it's becoming a thing. Actually, about 1,700 people have died from this black fungus thing. They initially didn't think it was that big of a deal. They had a few hundred cases, and then all of a sudden it just kind of started being reported more and more. And it's... the symptoms basically are you know, like pain in the eyes and swelling in the face and head, other things. They're well, of course, they're requesting that if you go outside, that you wear a mask. If you go outside, that you wear a mask and long clothes, long pants, and rubber gloves. And there's some kind of a medicine that treats this thing, I guess, very well. But the problem is it doesn't. They're running short on supply. People who are susceptible to it seem to be the people who are have had long periods of time in the hospital, difficulty recovering from the COVID virus, as well as people who've taken certain types of medication, steroids, I believe it is. If you've taken steroids during your treatment for COVID, it's you're more susceptible to this fungus, apparently. If you have a reduced immune system, so it's just interesting that what we're talking about is something that's only being seen in one particular country. I don't know if that's because that fungus only grows there. Now, one of the things they said was if you have like a stuffy nose, sinus problems, bleeding, you know, nosebleeds, that kind of thing. Now, I believe there are probably people here in the States that have those kinds of issues. And I am fully aware that some people have had some lingering effects after COVID. And my, you know, my concern and my what I believe I would contend, I'm no doctor, but I would say that if there's a possibility that, you know, that has that kind of an effect on your immune system, that there's probably some other things that you can get, and there's probably some molds or fungus and mildew and that kind of thing that you could possibly be irritating, things we don't know about, possibly, or we're not being told about. So there are those kinds of issues out there. India seems to be on the on the aggressive side of, you know, fighting back against this thing, but it's very difficult because of a lack of issues there. So treatment. So there is that. And so I did look into that for you. So there you go. If you're in India, which I haven't actually looked to see. I think we have listeners in India. Let me take a look here. It's very possible at the geographic stats. I'm looking at India. Where'd you go, India? There you are. No, it's not giving me that because it's, there we go, India. Well, it's not showing that anyone from India listens to this podcast. So so this, I'm just wasted my time. I guess I just wasted my time for you, all you folks in India, because you're not listening to me. You need to listen to me. Listen to me, folks. We still have no one in New Zealand either, for that matter. Australia, we have Australia, Indonesia, and Cambodia, of all places, as well as Vietnam. There's more than Vietnam. I figured that was like a one-time weird thing there, but still some Nigeria, Tanzania, Venezuela, Peru, Chile, Argentina. So, yeah, enough of that report. So it's just an interesting thing that's going on there, and I'm still trying to understand the science behind that and why it's just in one country that we're hearing about the issue. We have a continuing. I'm going to talk about this a little bit because I've kind of just heard more about it this morning. There's a lawyer that I listened to on the radio or on the YouTube. He's got a channel. I think he's called Grueler on the Law, something like that. What his channel is called. But he's usually on live and he goes on for 2 or 3 hours and he talks about some of the bigger cases that are going on in the country. He did a really good job on the Chauvin case, and he was talking about that. And that was pretty interesting. He's very good at staying kind of neutral in terms of politics and just kind of calls out both sides on issues. A little bit more of a, I would call, a libertarian. However, I don't know what there's libertarian. Just to say somebody's libertarian doesn't mean anything, because you can be a libertarian with left leanings and you can be, you know, almost to the point of anarchy, and you can be a libertarian, more of a Ron Paul libertarian, who is more of a conservative libertarian. That's the kind of probably more the camp that I would say I would fall into there. I would, that's if I had to put a label on myself, more of a conservative libertarian. Because the Libertarian Party, I find myself aligning with about, you know, 20% of what they say. The official Libertarian Party, I probably align more with 80 to 90% of what the Republican policy is. I'm not saying they follow the policy, but if they did, that's kind of fall into more of that route on that side of the fence. Just to let you know, just a full disclosure there about who I am, as far as what I, you know, where I stand, as far as what my thoughts and feet and what I believe are. The interesting thing about a lot of this has been how they frame some of these cases And this one lady is, he was talking about her. She's, I think she's the attorney general. It's an elected position in New York. I think it's the state's attorney general. And she is going after Trump viciously. And she ran on going after Trump in 2019. And she won re-election, I guess. I think it's every 2 years she has an election. I believe she won re-election again. So she's going to run again in 22, I think. She was sworn in 19. Does that make sense? Yeah, she's sworn in. I think there was a 20. I don't know. Whatever it was. And she's still going after Trump. And she's talking more than a civil suit with his business practices. She's talking about a criminal suit now. And this has been going on for like almost 3 years, 800 and some days, which is longer than the Benghazi trial, longer than the Mueller report, longer than pretty much anything in the investigations that go on all the time. Now, you know, Trump's under probably about 27 different investigations right now for various know-nothing people that don't do anything, right? Don't know what they're talking about. Simply motivated. And MSNBC is all over this thing. They are. And of course, Michael Cohen, who is I don't even know how he, I'm not even sure he can spell lawyer. This guy is a fumbling buffoon. I don't know how to any way to describe him. They got this guy on TV almost every day on MSNBC. They're interviewing him almost every day. And he continues to jazz them up and tell them what they want to hear, because he was Trump's former lawyer. He was the one who was involved in the Stormy Daniels thing, I think. So there was something there. But he, So he's continuing to pump them up, and he has to. He has to keep it in the news, because that's the only thing he's got. He's a one-trick pony. He can't make a living as a lawyer, apparently. So they got him on the show every day. Because he's got inside news on Trump, and he's going after him, and he's convincing them that there's these criminal charges, the indictments are inevitable. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I just read there's a headline here by Dinesh D'Souza. It says New York's Attorney General is terrified of Trump, and I believe that she is acting out of some kind of craziness. This total infatuation with Orange Man Bad, and the only thing, it's the only thing they've got to go on. If they're left to report on news that's happening right now, they find themselves digging into things that they don't want to talk about pretty quickly. So it has been pretty crazy the way the news media has still continued to, you know. I think one commentary person I heard, they were equating the news media like a crazy ex-girlfriend kind of thing, following after Trump. They just won't let the guy go. You know, just continue to mess around. Now, there's another interesting story. I have Fox News or some kind of news. I think it's Fox. It's up on the TV here. I don't have it on, but it's on, but it's not, volume's not on. And some guy named Lashinka, I think is his name. And they're claiming that this airline is claiming that they were hijacked by a dictator. I don't know the whole story on that either. I'm just talking because I don't know the whole story. I keep trying to dig into that a little bit more. I don't know what's going on there for sure. And I don't know if they captured somebody off the plane, I guess, that's why they hijacked the airplane or whatever. But the airline is basically claiming that they've been hijacked, that they were hijacked. Because they were going to take off and they were not allowed to take off or something. I don't know. also in the news. In fact, this is Robert Grueler right here. He's got a thing he's going to have on today, tonight, 7 p.m. I might be able to actually listen to that. I will be in Pennsylvania this evening, just not too far from, where is it? Just north of Philadelphia, I guess. That's where I'll be. And apparently there's the one kid that was he's kind of an anarchist, anti-Trump guy. He went in the White House on January 6th. He's walking around, claimed to be a reporter. He's not a reporter. He had video of the insurrection. He sold that video to, I guess, for like $90,000 to several news outlets, or at least one news outlet. And because of that, the feds came after him. And they've seized $90,000 from him now, or something. I don't know. They're going after him for that. I don't know what the deal is. But apparently he was you know, making a big deal out of it. He was interviewed. He was actually personally interviewed by one of the news organizations about what was going on inside. They questioned him initially and let him go. Never did press, you know, they never did charge him for it with anything. Now they're going after him because of all this stuff. And this is something that's kind of it's kind of interesting on the whole topic here of what's going on, what happened on January 6th. All of these social media posts that went out there, people that posted things, if they were videoing anything that happened that day, they are taking, the feds are looking at this stuff. Now, this is a place where we didn't think we were going to go here, you know, with this whole social media thing. Anything you post on there is going on public, out in the public, and you can, you know, the feds can collect that. It's public data. And so they, you know, they're grabbing this video footage of events that took place that day and the people who were there in the Capitol, and they're using facial recognition to go after these people. They're finding them. Now, some of the people who were there that day, some of the reporters that were there that day, found that out, they stopped posting. There's some of these guys have hours of video. Had multiple cameras. They had, you know, different. They were, you know, recording different things, and several videos that they have of what, you know, what was going on that day. They will not post them. And I, at some point, I would think those things would be subpoenaed. They're admitting they have video, and the feds are watching them. I would assume that at some point, those things will be subpoenaed or something. I don't know what's going to happen with those, but if that happens, I'll guarantee you these guys. I know these guys well enough. I've seen what they do. They will have multiple copies of things out there, and the feds won't just. The FBI likes to pick up things, and then just hold on to it like they did Hunter's laptop. Never did anything with it. They picked it up and just used it as leverage, so they can maintain their clout with powerful individuals in Congress. They do this all the time. They will find dirt on people. It's a shakedown operation. At the highest levels, that's what they do. That's what they're in. That's what they're doing. If you wonder how the deep state is able to control things and control people in Congress, and why some people are very outspoken and others aren't, they'll back off things. They'll it's because they probably have found some kind of dirt on them. They know it. I would contend that some of the, you know, supposedly the what I would call rhinos, people who have come out, spoken out before, and then all of a sudden they get real quiet. Or they kind of, their voting record is different. Or the budgets that they pass have a lot of, a lot of gravy that seems to spill over into the intelligence agencies, the FBI, some of those kinds of places. The reason those places are so well funded and get so much black bag funding is because they're like, well, you know, you want to play ball with me, I'll play ball with you. You know, you want to wash my hands, I'll wash you. We scratch each other's back. Whatever it is those people say. Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of back and forth stuff going on there. So there's that going on, and that's been going on for years, by the way. that's what gets the insider. Some of the guys aren't, some of these guys aren't playing games. Jim Jordan, you know, they tried to come after him. They had some kind of allegations for him about something, only because he knew of something that was going on in the school he was at and he didn't do anything about it. It wasn't because he did anything wrong. It was because he knew of something that was going on wrong. So they're claiming that he knew about it and he didn't do anything, so therefore he's guilty. So it's an interesting thing. Here's something that's kind of neat in the news. I've seen this several times now. They are training dogs now to be able to detect, to sniff out the COVID virus. And these dogs that are being trained, they say it's better than a PCR test. Now the question is, how's this thing going to, you know, if they sniff up the virus, do they have to wear a mask while they're sniffing around? It's confusing to me. I don't know. So if they're sniffing around with this virus, is it possible that they can, that the virus could mutate, or could it attach itself, and then could the dog become a spreader? That's just questions I have. I don't know. Obviously, if you're smelling the virus, you're obviously getting the virus in your nose. It's that tiny. So it's question. All those questions. These are the questions I have about life in general. We have. Again, Ron DeSantis. I'll just say something about him real quick. This guy's very quickly becoming my hero. He's really going after a lot of things. One of the things he has gone after recently in the state of Florida, he's basically banning any kind of COVID passports. Now, the governor in Texas, I believe, signed a law recently that said if anybody is a if anybody requires you to wear a mask in their facility, they can be fined. So now they're down to requesting. They can request that you wear a mask in their facility. I mean, they're serious about this thing. They're like, no masks, and no. A lot of these big box stores have a blanket policy in all cities, in all their stores, all across the country. You have to wear a mask. And that's where we have the real issue with this whole thing. And it's been that way since the beginning. You know, when you have a mass lockdown based on a few cities that are, you know, having cases. And this happened even while when Rand Paul was questioning Dr. Fauci about the whole mask thing. Why are people required to wear masks after they've been vaccinated? And he would say, well, because of the variants, you know, there's variants out there that you can still be protected from those. So you're saying that the vaccine doesn't protect us from the variants. Oh, no, you're much more protected from the variants with the vaccine. Okay, so why are we still wearing masks? What's the incentive for people to get the vaccine if you're going to still have to wear a mask? Well, you can still carry the virus and not know it. Okay. So what happened here was when he was having this kind of argument with him about that whole thing. You know, Rand Paul was challenging him on this, those, the whole basics of, you know, wearing the mask and that whole thing. And with that, he brought up the issue of the caseload was so high. Well, we have 60,000 people, 60,000 cases a day. Until we get that down, we have to keep wearing the mask. Again, there were areas that didn't have outbreaks. You know, this is where centralized government really gets it wrong all the time, on so many levels. We have a centralized government who looks at the total caseload throughout the country. So we put a mandatory policy in place for the entire country. However, there was only three states that were going through a hotspot situation, causing all these, you know, causing the numbers to be up so high. But because of that, you know, the entire country now has to be locked down. It has to be masked up, I should say. And that's the kind of ridiculous thinking that we constantly get with the folks at the top who know everything. And this is what's frustrating to me with centralized government and why, you know, local government is much more important, and we can control our, you know, we can uh, we can control our elected officials at a closer level, at a closer distance than we can these people in Washington who are in a bubble and they don't care about any of us out here. We are considered the flyover states, and that's all it is. We look at what's happening in Idaho and Oregon right now. Now, the Oregon mayor, or the Oregon governor now, I believe has signed into law. I know they've introduced the legislation. I believe that the law now is stating that, I think the governor signed it into law. I'll have to find out about that. Where if businesses, I believe, how was it? The businesses are still required to they're required to find out if a person, to verify if a person has had the vaccine if they don't wear the mask into a business. Well, businesses aren't going to take that chance. They're not going to ask anybody this is going to go two ways. One is people are going to walk in. You're going to find out that you have to wear a mask if you haven't been vaccinated. And people will either wear the mask. Now, some people who've been vaccinated will still wear the mask. Other people who have not been vaccinated or who have been vaccinated, they're going to walk in and they're not going to want to answer that question. I'm not going to present you with my papers to say I'm okay to shop at your store without a mask on. I'll just go shop somewhere else. Of course, now the problem is that requirement is in all stores now in Oregon. We have to ask you whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. They have to verify. If you're not wearing a mask, they have to verify. So in other words, you have to show them some kind of, I guess, receipt saying that you have been vaccinated. Well, anybody can forge that piece of paper. I don't know how does this work? So, and what kind of charges are you going to go after them if they forged that piece of paper, that document? How are you going to find out if they forged it? You show it at the front door, and you go buy your stuff, and you go and you leave. Who's enforcing that now? It's going to have some kind of papers police, I guess. We're going to have document police. Are they recording this stuff? Here's one of the things, and I know this is kind of my tinfoil hatness comes out at this point as well. Now, I know that the federal government has my fingerprints because of some, let's just say there's a state and federal organizations that have my fingerprints. I know it's a fact because of some security permissions that I've had. They had to take my fingerprints, and they have my picture, so they got that facial recognition thing going on. I've never been in prison or anything, but it's not because of that. Not yet, anyway. Until I keep, until I really bomb out with this show. Probably once they listen to this show, they'll throw me a slammer. But because I'm overcharging everybody for listening to it. So they have this, we have this issue here of they got my fingerprints, but they, as far as I know, they don't have my DNA. Now, maybe they got it somehow through some kind of, I don't know, who knows? But this, that maybe I, I don't know, some kind of way that they have to get records and things. I've had a couple, operations or something. I don't know, but doctor, I don't know. I gave, blood samples for insurance, stuff like that. Or get your blood tested for different things. Wouldn't surprise me if they have some way of, categorizing or cataloging that information. I don't know if they can get to it or not. However, here's the thing. All these tests, I'm assuming that these swabs and stuff, when they take the test, when you take your COVID test, for instance, especially the long-term one where you have to send it in, the swabs, when they're going that far up your nose and they're getting material from your nose, I will guarantee you they're getting DNA material. Where does that go, and who's recording it, and who's cataloging that, and what's going on with it? When the test comes back negative, is that then destroyed, or is there more to it than that? I have no idea. probably depends on the organization doing the testing, but it also, you know, this, it goes off into this, you know, gray land where nobody can see it. It really bothers me. And what's being done with those swabs? Are they collecting DNA at this point? You know, they want everybody to be tested. Everybody to be tested. Everybody go get your test. Get your test. Free tests here. We're going to give everybody free tests. Even the quick tests are set up in such a way that you, of course, you got all these people that are actually going out there and giving up their DNA material and giving it to organizations like 23andMe, all the, you know, to find out about your ancestry, ancestry.com, that kind of stuff, where you, you know, you turn in your, you voluntarily turn in your DNA material. And what we're finding out now is that the feds are able to access those databases. Apparently, when you do that, you're, you know, part of the terms of agreement are that you, they can sell them to third parties. And they may not be able to sell your actual DNA, but they can sell, they can sell the information of all the people you're related to. And this is being used by, you know, now in some cases, I mean, they can justify it because they're using it for law enforcement or they're, you know, to track down cases or, you know, find, you know, certain to bust open cold cases. Excuse me. And okay, well, so it's a great idea. Well, that's great. How long will it take before they get, you know, to nefarious activity with these things? I mean, this is, you know, we're seeing right now, we're seeing a takeover of our government in very, I would say, very troubling, concerning things that are going on. In fact, 124 generals or military high-ups, generals and admirals, that wrote an open letter to Biden to voice their concerns on how this this administration is becoming very tyrannical and very concerned about what's going on. You see, they really truly believe that what they are doing is helping everyone because they need to be our parents. Now, because of the dumbing down of our society, and I'm not going to get into that too much, but there is certainly a dumbing down of our society that's been going on and a grooming to be dependent on government. They want us to be government dependent. From cradle to grave. They want to develop a class of citizen that basically is, they want that to develop a middle class that is redefined, that everyone is on the same level, regardless of what you're able to do or what you're capable of doing, everybody gets the same. Equal outcome, equity, they call it. It's different than equality. Equality basically is the ability to, you know, for three people to apply for a job and for all three of those people to, you know, regardless of their gender, race, their religion, if they all three have the same qualifications, that the person with the best qualifications or the, you know, the if there's something that outshines based on merit, that person gets the job. Because it's not, because the job has nothing to do with being male or female or you know, whatever gender you are. There's only two, by the way. Scientific, that's the science. We'll talk about the science of that. And the interesting part of that is the, you know, that if your religion has nothing to do with it, if you know it's and still that's, you know, that's the employer's choice at that point. Who they want to hire for that job. They like your personality better than somebody else. So, again, I digress. And the bumper music's coming in. It's set at a certain time for me when I'm traveling like this so I don't get too long-winded. And I try to keep things down to about the 35-minute level because I know that it, you know, I can give you too much information in 35 minutes or I can just ramble on for an hour and 45 minutes sometimes, which is really why I set that thing to kind of chime in on me. Regardless of all of that, once again, I'd like to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, sharing, and That's about all I got to say. This music's hit kind of loud, so I'll have to go. God bless everybody. Have a great day. I will try to have a show tomorrow morning, but it's going to be difficult. Tomorrow's going to be a long day. God bless everybody. Have a great day.